Every now and then, we run into a difficult issue in a relationship. Sometimes the right thing to do is to bite your lip. Other times, you let it wash by and you forgive and you move on. But sometimes, sometimes you have to address the issue. You have to tackle it head on. How do you do that? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to A Different Perspective. Now, I don't know about you, but over these last few weeks, I've really enjoyed following Jesus around on the dusty highways and byways of first century Israel and just watching him, observing him, listening to him, because he lived such an extraordinary life, a really powerful life. If you and I want to live that sort of life, who better to follow around, to observe, to listen to learn from than Jesus? Now, our current series is called How to Live an Extraordinary Life, because we only have one chance at this life. Might as well make it a good one. In fact, given how precious life really is, let's make it an extraordinary life. I think it's easy to read the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John in the New Testament, all about the life and times and the deeds of Jesus, and treat them more as a textbook rather than a relevant story about life. But think about it. If Jesus was alive in the flesh today, here and now, and you were one of those 12 disciples, you'd have a keen eye and a listening ear, wouldn't you? You'd be observing him to learn as much as you could from who he was and what he did. I mean, I know I would. So why don't we do that with the gospel accounts of Jesus' life? I think sometimes the more we read them, the more blasé we become about them. I even had one pastor, a pastor, mind you, say to me, I don't read the Gospels much. When I asked him why, he said, I know how they end. He was serious. So today again, we're going to get on the Jesus trail and see what he's up to, see what we can learn from him. Are you ready? I'm going to pick up his story in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Jesus is talking here. He said, "You've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go and first be reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you'll be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." I don't know about you, but on the occasions where I've had to tell someone something difficult, something that they didn't want to hear, it's not always something that I've looked forward to doing. I spent 20 years as a consultant working in hundreds of organizations, and as a consultant, oftentimes it's your job to tell people something they don't want to hear. Over the years, I've become more accustomed to it. I learned ways of preparing people for the bad news and delivering it in a way that wasn't harsh or judgmental. But it's never something I relished. It's never something I looked forward to doing, and it's never something I enjoyed doing. But it's something you just gotta do sometimes. Jesus did quite a bit of it. We don't find out from the gospel accounts how he felt about doing it. We don't know if he experienced the apprehension which would be natural. But all the indications are that it didn't seem to faze him much. Jesus never minced his words. He didn't mamby-pamby around, if that makes sense. He wasn't a shrinking violet. When something had to be said, he said it. You see that over and over again. Jesus tackles the tough issues. And that's what he's doing right here in this passage. He's dealing with how we treat other people. He's dealing with the way in which we judge other people harshly, and yet we let ourselves off the hook. How often have you thought to yourself, "Well, you know, I'll be right on the day of judgment. I'm not such a bad fellow or bad girl. You know, I never killed anyone. Yeah, I'll be right. I'll be right with God on that day." You've heard it said that those of ancient times said, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable for judgment." But I say to you, said Jesus, if you're angry with a brother or sister, you'll be liable for judgment. If you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable before the council. And if you say you fool, you'll be liable to the hell of fire. And then we are so prone to carrying unforgiveness around in our hearts. We go to church, those of us who do. We sing songs, we pray prayers, we listen attentively to the sermon. We come out feeling oh so holy. Yet there's this one person at work who's been driving us nuts. And the last thing we're going to do is forgive them. In fact, while the preacher's been droning on, as sometimes he does, we've been plotting our little scheme that we're going to hatch when we get back to work on Mondays. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that you have something against someone, leave your gift there before the altar, go and first be reconciled to them, and then come back and offer your gift to God. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court. Otherwise, you might get handed over to the judge, and the judge will put you in jail, and you'll be thrown into prison. And truly, I tell you, you'll never get out until you've paid your whole debt. In other words, as Jesus goes on, he says very plainly, unless we forgive others, God won't forgive us. Bam, right in the face. Do you think people listening were shocked? Yeah, sure they were. Do you think the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders who ultimately plotted his assassination, they were shocked too? As far as they were concerned, this was just another nail in his coffin. Jesus knew that. He knew the consequences. He knew that by confronting people with the truth, they would assassinate him. But he came to this earth not just to die and rise again, but to reveal God to us, to proclaim his central message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He came to tell us the way things really are. And as we here in Australia would say, he called a spade a spade. Did he love people? Was he kind to them? Did he encourage them? Yes, yes, and yes. But he also spoke the truth to them directly and in love. And sometimes, my friend, you and I need to do the same. Does it require wisdom and sensitivity and a great sense of timing? Yes, it does. But sometimes when we see people heading down the wrong path, in the wrong direction, doing something that's going to hurt them or something that's going to hurt others, we need to be honest with them. Otherwise, their blood is on our hands. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul taught us in Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Therefore, I declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. I know, believe you me, I know that telling people things that they really don't want to hear is not easy. Often they react really badly when you and I share the truth about sin and salvation with people, when you and I point out to someone that they're actually doing the wrong thing. Often they'll react towards us in exactly the same way as the religious leaders reacted towards Jesus. They were the ones that had him nailed to the cross because his truth threatened their power base, which was based on doing the wrong thing. But in this life, we are sometimes in a place and in a position when in our heart of hearts we know we need to speak out the truth. We know we need to admonish. And when we're in that place, when the Spirit's leading us there, then that's what we should do. Just like Jesus, no matter the cost. Now, this program that you've just been listening to is heard not just here on your local station, but through over 1,350 stations in 160 countries. And yet we face so much spiritual opposition in so many places because, frankly, our enemy, the devil, does not want millions of people each week hearing the good news of Jesus. So can I ask you a huge favor? Would you pray with me that God would open many, many more doors around the world for us to share the stunningly good news of Jesus Christ with the lost? Because our heart, his heart, is to reach the unreached with his love. And if you're serious about praying with me, you can check out this month's prayer points at christianityworks.com. And while you're there, don't forget there's a treasure trove of resources in the Media Lounge, conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. Topics like dealing with adversity, God's blessing, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and lots, lots more. God's word is so powerful. So check out that Media Lounge at ChristianityWorks.com. I want to see your life transformed as you receive God's word into your heart. It's been great to be able to spend this time with you today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.